Powered by Bathtub Guys Refinishing. We discuss the refinishing industry, interview owners and operators, and give tips to business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Daniel Montalvo.
Hello, everybody. Turn that volume down. How is everybody? We are back with the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. Today, we have Mike from Snaves Refinishing here.
Hello.
He's you're from Tampa, right? That's where you're servicing mostly?
Spring Hill.
Spring Hill. Okay. And you could bring the microphone just a little closer to you. If you're going to sit back, just make sure it's like a fistful right there, away. Right? That's good.
Perfect.
Yeah. Just want to make sure that it's picking up, because if you're too far, it'll start searching for other noises. If you keep it right in front, it'll stay like nice and crispy, you know? But yeah, man. So he came out here for a podcast. I want to touch base on how me and you even got together. Like,
absolutely.
I don't remember exactly. I know it was some sort of post that it was another company even made, right?
Yeah. It was about pouring on the
coatings.
The coatings. And I know for a fact you put a light up on there, you're going to see runs or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you told me about your product.
Yep.
And you've even showed me some at your shop. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it doesn't look like it was sprayed by an HVLP, but one thing I got to say is it's got high gloss and it's got strength.
Yep.
And so, and then anything else, any imperfections on it, it's a coating. It can be polished out. Absolutely.
And that's one of the things I like 100% respect. I've had other people that are like skeptics.
Yeah.
And especially about the durability mostly, but even people skeptical about you even being able to pour or roll something on.
Right.
And it look decent. And I'm glad that you came out and took a look at it yourself. Like I told you, we're still working. All the ones there are rolled on, so it's like kind of hard for me to show you. When we spray it on, it looks like a spray job.
For sure.
It looks nice and fucking, you know, perfect. We're working on the roll-on. I think the job we did yesterday was the closest we've gotten to, like, you can't tell the difference.
Right.
And this was at a job. But we're working on it, and as we work on it, it'll get better.
Absolutely.
But I think the fiberglass tub we have there is like really close. The thing with that one though was the pieces of roller that broke off into the tub, and then you can feel it. But like, you know, for anybody out there that's like a little skeptical, I just welcome them to come, and I'm glad you did, because at the end of the day, I like the criticisms you have are the same ones I have for myself, right?
Absolutely.
It's like, it needs to be like this. It needs to look like it was sprayed, and that's what we're working towards. But, you know, at least you came and took a look at it yourself.
Yeah, dude.
And the durability aspect of it too.
And that's what I'm most impressed with, is because, I mean, I chucked a compressor and I smacked it with the frying pan, and I was like, damn, man, you know, that's holding up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've had people bring contractors in and work on tubs or like tiles around the tubs, and then, you know, they end up dropping a hammer on it, and then I got to go do a repair.
We had a quick conversation about sinks and like why a lot of refinishers don't do sinks anymore.
Yeah, like, and I'll do bathroom sinks all day, but like a kitchen sink, they just see so much more abuse, you know. Mm-hmm. People are throwing pots and pans in there, people are throwing knives, especially like point downs, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when they end up with scratches and stuff like that, they're calling me up and they're like, hey, mm-hmm, you got to come fix this, it's looking a little messed up. And then I'm like, no, that's clearly mm-hmm you.
Yep.
And, you know, it's unfortunate, but I can't do that because, like, I warranty my work.
Of course, 100%.
Whatever you do to it.
Yeah. And one of the things we're trying to do with this also is kind of like the ease of repair, right? So you see there, like, what it takes to actually damage it. Like, we threw something hard at it.
Yeah.
It didn't really damage it, scuffed it up. And in the video that you guys will see where he guest stars in it, like, we like use some sandpaper to clean the scuff mark off, and it's fine.
Yeah. You do that with anything, you know, you got some nubs on it, you use some sandpaper.
Exactly.
And, you know, and, even with orange peel, you know, a little sandpaper,
yep,
and it's gone.
So I just wanted to touch base on that. But more importantly, what I'm happy that another Florida refinisher is here for number one. Like, you know, I've tried to get a few other people in the area on. I've had a little luck, but I've had, for some of the people who know, like, kind of a little beef with somebody over there in Tampa. It's not, It wasn't my doing.
Right.
It was someone, like, he started the whole thing. It was a bath reglazing specialist over there.
Nice.
He just started. He gave me, like, he called me, like, one night, spazzing on me, drunk. Like, I haven't really talked about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Just touching base on it. But it's, like, a lot of people in Florida feel threatened by us. I don't know why, because I just try to help people.
Right.
Every conversation I have comes from the angle of trying to help people. It's like what I told you when we were over there at my shop. It's like, you know, if you need, like, you know, the resources to, like, get cheaper spray suits or whatever, like, I'll share that stuff with you.
Oh, absolutely.
And business questions and stuff like that, too, because I remember when I started.
Yep.
You know, my parents had a company, but it wasn't successful. Like, they did this for 25 years, and it was them two, occasionally a helper. Like, it was a mom-and-pop operation.
Right.
And they just got too old to be doing the labor themselves. So when me and my brother took over, like, we took it to this next level where there's technicians and staff and stuff like that. And not to say they didn't have technicians, but it was a come and go. We don't have enough to always keep people here.
Yep.
And so, but I remember the beginning when I started, I didn't know anything. Like, so just some context for you. When I came into it, my brother was the only technician. We had a helper who is, like, our top guy now, named Ralph.
Yeah.
And then, and we had no work. Everybody had left. They just finished a project. There was, like, a gap in between, and we had, like, four people who were here just leave.
Yep.
And then, slowly but surely, we started picking the pieces back together. My brother would go and do the little bit of jobs we had, and what I would do was try to find out how to advertise, how to build a business, and kind of learn that aspect. And this is something that I urge a lot of people to do. If you can find a way to make it work, having a person dedicated to sales is, like, super important, because when you're in the tub and you're prepping and sanding and those calls go by, remember something. You remember something.
Yeah.
Remember that they called you first, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And if you let them shop somewhere else, they will.
Oh, yeah. And there's times where, you know, I got my compressors running,
mm-hmm.
and stuff, and then I look at my phone 40 minutes later, and I'm like, dang, I just missed two calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay.
And the opportunity's not over, but, right. You know, when you need something urgently, the first person that answers, usually, if it's reasonable, you're going with them.
Yep.
And what I always talk about in this industry is there needs to be, in my opinion anyway, a little bit of a sense of urgency in getting back to people. You need to make sure that you stand out, because I had this situation the other day. One of my guys, with this new product, one of the things that is a little bit of a drawback is that it stays wet longer, right?
Yeah.
So the masking on the floor, it, like, the residue got on his boot.
Mm.
He walked through a fucking house and got a boot mark on there.
A little boot print all every step.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we didn't catch it, so the next day after it dried, they called us out. Now, let me tell you something, man. I called 15 wood refinishing companies. 15 of them. All of them were 5-star. Because if I'm going to go fix something for a client, it better be done the right way.
Absolutely.
None of them answered. Mm. None of them answered the fucking phone. They didn't respond to texts. Like, 10 of them left me on red.
Right.
The other 5 just never ghosted. Like, they, like, there was no, it was like a green bubble, so I don't know if they got it or not.
Yep.
There was no call back. There was no. And then the 16th company, a little mom and pop operation, they responded to me back through text like this.
Right.
And I booked them right away. And thank God I did, because they only charged me like $300, which I was like, thank God, because, you know, with wood floors, like, if you damage something, a lot of the times they'll try to get you to do the whole thing.
Yep.
But that guy, and this was like the stars aligned for me, bro.
Yeah.
That guy actually refinished that house like 6 months before. So he had used a polyurethane protectant on it. So all he had to do was buff the poly and bring it back.
So he already knew what he was doing.
Exactly.
As soon as he walked into the house, he's like, oh, man, I've done this before.
Exactly. And he was an honest contractor, too, which I love. He's like, yeah, I already did the polyurethane on here. He charged them, you know, thousands of dollars for that house. But he's like, I already did the poly. All I got to do is polish it down. And he didn't just screw me over because he knew the situation.
Yep.
Which I respect, but
that's a 5-star rating right there.
100%. I gave him a 5-star review. Yeah, and I was like, these guys, I literally told him in the text message, I was like, bro, I would have paid double.
Yep.
I gave him a tip, everything. I was like, you're fucking, Like, you're the
He's
best.
A stud, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But it's surprising to me how many people are in the trades in general, right? Things like wood refinishing, where the average ticket is like 10 fucking grand.
Right.
And they're not picking up the phone. They're not answering customers. And it's like, a lot of them wonder why they're not around in like a year or two, or why they can't scale.
Because there's
times
where I'm busy. I'm so busy. And then, like, let's say the last 3 months, November, December, January, slowest months for me because Christmas, and then people are recovering from Christmas.
And New Year's too, bro.
Yeah, so, like, if I don't have several bands saved up from the months prior, I'm screwed.
Yep.
And then, like, say January right now, I'm just starting to pick up my work again. We're coming into February. I just started getting calls 2 weeks ago. So, like, if you bail out on those too, you know, because if you can schedule months out, if you really need to, and if these people are sitting there, they're like, okay, I know this guy's work and it's really good,
100%.
And they will wait for you.
Yep,
absolutely.
But if you don't answer the phone, this
don't
is
answer,
the
man.
Signal you send when you don't answer the phone. It's one thing to not answer at the moment. It's another thing to not follow up at all. If you don't do any follow-up, why would the customer call you back? And then how would they even trust to book you? Because if there's no intensity for you to get the fucking job, then if there's an issue, do they trust that you're going to come back?
Right.
If it was hard to get you on the phone for them to give you money, how do they expect to trust you enough to fix an issue down the line?
Yep.
And that's when, like, I tell people who ask me, like, the trust starts from the initial reach out. You want to be trusted. You want to make sure that it's easier to book jobs. You want to make sure people don't bitch about your pricing. Be
That's
there.
Facts.
It 100%. That's why the big guys, sometimes they suck.
Mm.
And I'm not going to name names because I got a cease and desist last time I named one of your former employers.
Ah,
I
nice.
Did. I got a cease and I did an Instagram live and they sent me a cease and desist.
What?
Yeah, because I said their name. It is what it is. But
guys,
yeah,
come on.
But I got a call from the Orlando office and the lady was spazzing on me. It was a whole thing. But it's okay. But you know, but that's why the big guys they get that part right. And
right.
People trust them because they have a dedicated person for the phone.
Yep.
And they have a dedicated person for warranty calls. And like there's never a lapse in communication, so it never gets to the point where the customer is questioning their integrity.
Right.
Not to say they always swing 100%, like, but at the same time, when you do that, it just makes people way more comfortable.
Absolutely.
Like anything. So I think that's like a big thing within the trades in general, but among refinishing companies even more because, let's face it, like 9 out of 10 operations are one man or two man operations.
Yep.
And that's one of the things we're trying to do. So with the product, one of the reasons we're not outright selling it is what we're looking to do is partner with existing locations, like existing companies.
Right.
And part of the reason is to kind of change the way that their operations are handled.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want this to be a commercial for it, but real briefly, I'll touch on it. One of the things we're doing is like we'll manage it for you. So what we're going to do out of this office in the back here and in the side where there's offices, we're going to staff people to anybody who wants the product and wants to become a Bathtub Guys location. We'll handle the customer service calls, we'll handle the leads and close them for you. And what that's going to do for a one-man operation is it's going to free you up to not have to worry about booking every job, not have to worry about missing a call.
Right.
And then on top of that, when you do have free time, you can go out to an apartment complex or a hotel and try to get those jobs. So you're not wasting all this time on like that one-off job. And so it's like a whole management thing. You get access to the product. You get access to the systems that we use to book people, take deposits, all of that. You're using the name. But on top of that, we're dedicating someone for sales, which is something that a lot of companies can't afford in the beginning.
Right.
Or they don't even know where to start.
Oh,
right.
Absolutely.
So,
because you got, say, like people like me who I went through Angie's, and I told you my first year Angie's, let's say I made 88,000, but 40 of that 80,000 went to Angie's.
Yeah.
And that's because I was paying anywhere from $400 to $1,200 a week. And that's a week on dead leads.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're ranging anywhere from $40 to $80. And they're just dead phone calls. And then they're like, well, we give you 3 reimbursements back. But then, like, when 20 calls come in and you get no customers.
It sucks.
Dude.
You know, those things, I think those platforms are better served for like journeymen, handymen that do a little bit of everything. So nothing is like a major turnoff or like a loss for them.
Right.
But for what we do that's so specialized, you really got to learn ads. And that's another thing that we're offering is like our ads, you know, our structure, how we do it.
Yeah.
We get really, really good quality leads.
Yeah.
And so I've even helped people on their own stuff. Like, you know, if you wanted to learn a little bit more about that off camera, I can definitely help you just kind of take a look at what you're doing. Do you do Google ads?
I do.
Okay. How much do you spend a month if you don't mind?
I actually haven't been spending anything. I've just been letting the algorithm.
Okay. So you do like SEO and Google My Business stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've been using like, what's that?
The Facebook ads?
Yeah, not Facebook ads, but they got their own private like business setting.
Okay.
For their thing, I totally forget what it's called, but I've been using Facebook, and then I can buy ads on there and like select my area that I want to like, you know, have a spread in. But that works a little bit, but most of my work comes from word of mouth.
And that's solid. Like what I always tell people is like, especially when you start, how long have you been doing this for people?
Myself, I've been doing this 3 years.
Okay. So, you know, especially when you're in those early years, the word of mouth stuff carries you.
Oh yeah.
When you can, and when you want to start maybe looking at building a team or a crew or just getting more work.
Yep.
Running like stuff like Google Ads is probably like your best bet. And the reason I always go to Google is you got to remember why people go to Google, right?
Yep.
They have a problem they want to solve now.
Yep.
Right. On Facebook, it's like you're trying to get people's attention, but they're not looking to be sold to.
Right.
On Google, people are actively searching tub refinishing, right?
Yep.
So the chance of you getting a better quality lead is higher. And with Google Ads, one of the good things is, if you get a working campaign, it is scalable, and you can go as little as you want. I mean, you can spend $100 a month,
right,
and get some results. But with word of mouth alone, long term, from what I've seen, is that eventually you run out of mouths. So
you run out of mouths. Absolutely.
What you need to do, and this is just from one business owner to another, even if you do a little bit of paid ads, a little bit of going out and just shaking some new hands. At hotels, apartments, stuff like that.
I've done a lot of the door to door too.
That shit works.
It works, you know. But I want just a word of advice from any of you people out there trying that. Like, people are going to slam the door in your face.
Oh, yeah.
You can't get your feelings hurt.
Yeah, you can't be sensitive, and you can't be afraid of doing it. I mean, I do commercial canvassing for hotels and apartments, like not because I have to, but because I want to. So, like, me and my boy Jonathan will go out to Tampa, and we'll start knocking on hotels and apartments doors, and we get told no so much.
Yeah.
But all you need is one, man.
All you need is one.
My friend Danny Garcia, man, he built his empire over there, Alliance Bath Reglazing, off of door-to-door apartment sales.
That's sick.
He hits 15 to 20 complexes a day, and gets told no, 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 yes, no, 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 yes.
And then you get that one building, and they're like, well, we got 300 units.
And we need them now.
Yep.
Yep. And that's how it happens.
Yep, absolutely.
So if you're doing some of that too, and that's how you – so that's what I'm saying. Like, what is word of mouth, right? Word of mouth is, like, you're getting people to talk to another people, to talk to their people, and it's like a big chain, right?
Yeah.
But if you keep adding new people, then you'll never run out of mouth.
Right.
And that's what I always tell people is – you could rely on word of mouth, but if you want to make sure that word of mouth sticks around, you're just adding more people to talk about you. When you do a little bit of advertising, just dabble in it, or like you said, door to door, doing that stuff, shaking hands, just meeting people.
Yep.
Realistically. In Tampa, we did 3 weeks where Monday through Friday, me and Jonathan just went door to door at complexes. And, in those 3 weeks, we booked about $60,000 worth of work.
Sick.
And we were hitting 13, 14, 15 places a day.
Right.
But it was just door knocking.
Yep.
And the right place, right time. One of the places was a hotel. One of the places was a hotel. And we went over there, and we were like, oh, these people, man, it looks like they're not going to really. Well, and then I was like, fuck it, let's go. And he's like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go. We went in there. The guy kind of shooed us out.
Yeah.
And then a week later, we get an email like, hey, we actually need you guys for like these tubs, man.
Right, dude.
So pretty much even a no today could become a yes tomorrow.
Absolutely.
You could catch people at the wrong time and they might just not be ready right now.
Yep.
But drop off a card, give yourself a shot, and revisit them, right?
Yeah, you don't even know, but like a week later, they might be going through their stuff and they'll be like, oh, wow, Snave's refinishing bathtubs.
Yep.
I got a couple bathtubs that I need done.
100%.
And then next thing you know, they're like, hey, you stopped in like a couple weeks ago. Okay, I'm thinking about it. Why don't you stop by and give me a quote? The worst they can say is no.
Exactly. And you miss 100% of the shots you don't take too.
Exactly.
So if you don't take any shot, you don't try, you're guaranteed to not get a return. So you might as well go and give it a shot. Leave your information. And like you said, the worst they could say is no.
Right.
Realistically, what tends to happen too is, like I said, those no's become yeses eventually.
Yep.
You'll go to a place this week and they say no, and then but you revisit. You don't revisit tomorrow.
Yep.
Come back next week. Come back in 2 weeks. And then one day you're gonna be there when the other refinishing company didn't show up or they fucked something up or they're refusing to fix something. And then right there, hey, I'm here already.
Dude, I actually talking about that, I had a guy who used me one time.
Uh-huh.
He's like, all right, this is awesome. Great. He has another place and he calls me up and he's like, hey, dude, I hired someone else.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mistake.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, dude, I got to see this. So I go in and I'm like, oh, like I just opened the door and I could see it overspray everywhere. And then I'm like, and it wasn't just on the tub, you know, it's on the cabinets, on its mirrors, everything. Like, and I'm like, how much did you charge or how much did he charge you? He's like, probably $100 less than what you would have charged. I'm like,
yeah,
damn, dog.
That's the difference.
And then I'm like, you do realize now I gotta strip it, and then that's gonna cost like an extra $400 at the least. And then he's like, damn, dude, like I fucked up. I'm like, yes, you did. Stick to what you know. Don't try to cheap out, because when you spend your money, you really do get what you pay for.
100%. And you know, one of the things I always tell people too is like that comes with people not being educated on what this work entails, right? They don't Yep. know that you need to etch it. They don't know that you need to sand. They don't know that you need to buy all this equipment. So if more people not only did stuff like this where they're talking about it in a platform somewhere, but also maybe made more stuff on social media showing the steps.
Right.
And I'm not saying record everything, but just show, hey, this is what I'm doing now. This is what I'm doing now.
Exactly.
Piece it together so that people understand what it takes to do this the right way. We would have a lot less of shoppers. You
right.
know what I mean? Because anyone could just go in and paint it.
Right. And that's another thing too that I want to say is it's not a DIY job.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a DIY job because there is so much knowledge that needs to go into it. And just, if there's a little bit of water in that on the tub, this is Florida. I did a bathroom on a lake house,
mm-hmm.
and it was so humid in there that the water was dripping off the ceiling. And I'm like, man, this is just hydration is everywhere. Mm-hmm. So I'm masking it up, and I get my adhesion promoter on, I get my primer on it, I get my top coat on it. 4 months later, I'm getting a call.
Yep.
Hey, dude, your stuff's peeling up. And I'm like, really?
And that's how sensitive it is. That's why you need a professional in here, though.
And now I'm like, okay, I'm doing water readings in the house. So now, and then if I have to, I'm going to bring a dehumidifier. I'm going to bring heat guns so I can dry any crevices that I need. But everything needs to be perfectly dry. Otherwise, you are not going to have adhesion. Along with the promoter and the primer and the top coat, like, you're going to have a failing job.
And you also, like, even if you have the right chemicals, you also have to have the know-how on how to handle them.
Right.
Right? So, you know, a lot of people don't take that into account. Like, our product is based off of a DIY product.
Yep.
Which is Ecopel, right? Ecopel,
yep.
For the longest time, it's been one of the best DIY products in the space. Like, compared to Rust-Oleum and those things,
right?
This is a lot easier. But even then, Patrick, who manufactures it, says, like, I sell it as DIY, but like the DIYers fuck it up, like because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to properly clean it. Right. Like he says, like one of the biggest complaints he gets is from guys who are like, I used to paint cars, or I was a construction worker for 20 years. Like the instruction says, hey, mix it by hand for 10 minutes, and they'll be like, well, I used a drill mixer. And he's like, that's not what it says, though. Like, you're Mr. Construction, but you couldn't read instructions.
Right.
You know, and so that's why it takes us, even in that case where he sells a DIY product, he sees the value in, like, I'm going to have professionals install it because and give an option for that, because there's a lot of people who this is just way over their head.
Absolutely.
That's why these kinds of things exist. I mean, anyone could paint a wall, right?
Yeah.
But, like, why are painters paid? You know, it's because they know how to do it better.
Exactly.
And so when you want something done the right way, you call a pro.
Right. It is. So like these type of walls here.
Yep.
I'm not the person to call to paint that.
Exactly.
I'm not the person to call to paint that. You're going to call, you know, someone else out there who knows how to paint, you know, drywall and that sort of stuff. Can I do it? Sure.
Uh-huh.
Will it be done right? I don't know.
Probably not. You know, 50-50 probably. Right. You know.
But, you know, and then that comes into, like, you know, the prep and everything else. I'm good with solvent paints. I've been doing that for the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. But you get me into, like, water-based, you know, wall paints, I don't know a damn thing.
Yeah. And I'm even worse. I don't know, like, shit about half of these things. Like,
yeah.
I know what's been told to me. I just don't dive that deep into things. With, like, I like to ask questions and learn that way. I also like to learn by seeing it. So
absolutely,
like, before I even committed to the Tubcast stuff, he flew down over here and did a sample for me, and I was like, yeah, you know, you know, one of the first things in my friend Ruben was in town when this happened. He's the guy from Georgia I was telling telling you about. When he smelled it, he was like, "That's gonna be shit. It's gonna suck." Like, cause you know, like. You're used to, like, the correlation of, like, now you got to use some industrial strength, strong shit for it to be even decent.
Yep.
He sprayed it, and the next day I was like, oh, you know, it looks all right, but I wasn't expecting anything crazy. My friend Ruben comes over, and he's like, let me do a quick durability test. I'm going to scratch it with my keys and see how much force it takes to even scuff it up.
Yeah.
He couldn't scuff it up. Even when he tried putting pressure on it, he just couldn't. So he was like, oh, no, this is fucking crazy. He's like, let's throw something at it. That's where this whole me throwing stuff at Tubcast stuff started.
That's sick.
I grabbed the freaking adjustable wrench.
Yeah.
And I just fucking, like, threw it down with force.
Right.
Nothing happened. Not even a mark. And I was like, I know I'm not tripping. So what we did to test it out, half the tub was sprayed in the new stuff. The other half was sprayed with Midwest primer and then Top Coat's low VOC glaze. And I threw it on the other side.
Chipped it.
And it chipped it.
Yeah.
I threw it on this side and it didn't. So I was like, okay, that's something. So I went again, did it again. We put Midwest on this side and then we put the regular stuff. I tested it. Of course, it chipped it. It's not to name names. It's just like, that's the testing we did.
Yeah.
And I love Midwest stuff. I love their primers. I really, you know, I like their Top Coat too. If I'm going to use urethane, I'm using them.
Right.
From Top Coat, I love some of their products too. I love, like I told you, Crosslink 3.
Yeah.
It's great. That stuff is like super glue.
Yes.
And it's like, it really, like when we were doing this with urethanes, dude, we would have peels often. Until we started using Crosslink, it was like, because we do a lot of work. Like I told you, I have 7 guys that mostly work every day, and a lot of times they're double booked. If you're not using an adhesion promoter, if they miss the etch by a little bit, if that primer isn't solid 100%, it's gonna fucking fail.
Yep.
But when you use Crosslink and you etch and you do it, it's like, I mean,
it's unstoppable.
It's
force.
Unstoppable. That shit will not just, it will not just like unadhere. You're not going to have delaminations and failures. But for me, the durability and then also the no smell was one of the things I took into account a lot for the health of the guys.
Yep.
Now you've been doing this for a long time.
Well, you
I'm
gotta
sure.
think about the customer too. Cause like I was saying earlier, even though I use low VOC, spray or paints, you know, that's the most common thing is that their nose is hurting by the end of the day. They got headaches, you know. It's stuff stinks.
And we're used to it because we're around it,
yep.
like, more than they are. But for people, you got to remember, people have sensitivities to stuff.
Yep.
They have pets. They're just not used to it.
Yep.
And they also, you know, too, that when you smell that, not to fully inhale and shit, you tell them that, oh, no, it's 100% safe. They're over here breathing like they're outside.
Right.
And their nose gets crusty from the freaking, you get paint boogers, all sorts of shit happens.
Yeah.
So 100%. I think, you know, the health implications for not just the customer, but for my techs. That's one of the main reasons why we switched to that. And like, again, I don't fault anyone for using urethane. If I get a custom color, we still use it. It's
yep.
just having an alternative there is great. And, I do think that in the future, these things will become more readily available. And
oh,
I do think that, I mean, from what you saw, right? Like, imagine being able to do a kitchen sink and know.
Yeah.
That they can throw a fucking frying pan. Throw it
right.
with intention.
Right.
And nothing happens.
Yeah, dude, that's sick. That's
yeah.
like awesome technology.
Exactly. And it's coming. It's like, you know, right now the other manufacturers, they haven't had to change.
Yeah.
Because people keep buying what they're selling, and why would they, right?
Right.
But when people start asking them, what's going on over there? And when these other, I'm not the only one. That person that was, that where we started talking.
Yep.
They're using a pour on product, right?
Yep.
But it's similar. There, it's like it's poured on and it's durable. These kinds of coatings are going to start popping up.
Yep.
And these people are either going to have to pivot or stay the same.
Right.
But refinishers are going to want to offer something that they know is bulletproof.
Yeah.
So if you're not offering it, you might lose that client. And if you do pivot to that, then you know, it's just going to make it better. It's going to make the industry better and the work that you're delivering to the customer better.
Right. And, you know, that's kind of why I go with the company that I go through, Hawks Labs,
mm-hmm.
Because, like, when I was working for that company, I'm not going to say any names. Mario, I love you, bud. But, like, all these issues happen. Oh, shit, dude.
You lost your train of thought.
Lost my train of thought there.
It's all right, buddy. Here's what we'll do. I'm gonna pick up the conversation. I usually keep these about a half hour. We're already 32 minutes in.
Hell
can you
yeah,
believe
dude.
That? So what I'll do is I'll end this one here, and we'll restart fresh.
All right.
And then if it comes back to you, then.
It actually just came back because I
go
was
ahead,
talking
go
about
ahead.
Hawks Labs. But the company that I use or that used to hire me,
mm-hmm.
I use their product. I use Hawks Labs because I know it works. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, if it's done right, you're going to have awesome work no matter what. But even with that product, that if it works, if you apply it and it's wrong, it's going to have failures. And so that's why, like, the knowledge needs to be in the paint and the materials and the
yep.
cleaning and what you're working with. Otherwise, you're just going to have catastrophe. You're going to have angry customers and everyone's going to be pissed.
100%.
And then when you go and do your reworks, you're not getting paid for that.
Yep.
You're not getting paid for that.
There's something I'll touch on it on the next one, but something interesting about warranties that I read on a Facebook group somewhere that I want to talk to you about. I think
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Interesting. So let's go ahead and end this one here, and we'll pick it up on the next one. See you guys.
You've been listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to keep up with the Bathtub Guys on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, or visit bathtubguys.com for more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.